Hello, welcome to Understory. I'm Tom Wilson. Today I share with you two bits of talk that remained in my mind as I looked back over last year, 2011. The first comes from the American author Bill McKibben, and the second comes from the Australian Senator Bob Brown. Let's start in America, though, and in Washington, D.C. At PowerShift, a coming together of youth climate activists in Washington, early in 2011, Bill McKibben gave an inspirational speech to thousands of people assembled before him, as did Al Gore at the same event. Here I'd like to share some of their words, some of what I consider to be the more inspirational words to be uttered in 2011.
At this time, I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation.
You are the movement that we need if we're going to win in the few years that we have. You have the skills now. You are making the connections. There is no one else. It is you. That is a great honor, and that is a terrible burden. The science is the easy part of this. Grim, but easy. Really hot. We just set the new all-time Asia temperature record, 129 degrees. That kind of heat melts the Arctic. That kind of heat causes drought so deep across Russia that the Kremlin stops all grain export. That kind of heat causes the flooding that still has 4 million people across Pakistan homeless tonight. Think about our own country, historically the biggest source of carbon emissions. Last summer, the Senate refused to even take a vote on the tepid, moderate, tame climate bill that was before it. Last week, the House voted 248 to 174 to pass a resolution saying global warming wasn't real. It was one of the most embarrassing votes the Congress has ever taken. They believe that because they can amend the tax laws, they can amend the laws of nature too. We know why we're in trouble. We understand the physics and chemistry of political power. In this case, it's not carbon dioxide that rules the day, it's money. Many of you are in the District of Columbia for the first time, and it looks clean and it looks sparkling. No, this city is as polluted as Beijing, but instead of coal smoke, it's polluted by money. 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 Money warps our political life. It obscures our vision. But just like with physics and chemistry, there's no use whining. We know now what we need to do. And the first thing we need to do is build a movement. We will never have as much money as the oil companies. So we need a different currency to work in. We need bodies. We need creativity. We need spirit. But I will adapt my behavior. Every day now, I will roll out of bed and go to work fighting them. Hell, I will go to bed at night and try to dream up new ways to fight. We're going to adapt our behavior, all right. We're going to adapt our behavior now to fight on every front. I'm sorry if that sounds aggressive, but there we are. 22 years ago, I wrote the first book about climate change, and I've gotten to watch it all, and I know that simply persuasion will not do. We need to fight. Now, we need to fight nonviolently and with civil disobedience. The climatologists tell us that unless we act with great speed and courage, that 1 degree will be 5 degrees before this century is out. And if we do that, then the world that we leave behind will be a ruined world. Never let anyone tell you that environmentalism is something that rich white people do. Most of the people that we work with around the world are poor and black and brown and Asian and young, because that's what most of the world is made up of, and they care about the future as much as anyone else.
Are we supposed to stick our heads in the sand and pretend that this is not real? You know, the fact that this global warming pollution, principally CO2, traps the heat, that's not some theory. That's physics. You can't negotiate with the laws of physics. You can't amend the laws of physics. You've got to respond to reality as we find it. And it takes courage, and it takes leadership. And it is up to you to give that message to our leaders. And you have been doing so. And I commend you for that. We've got more work to do. Also, in this past year, we saw a big block of ice break off northern Greenland, four times the size of Manhattan. We saw Super Typhoon Meji in Southeast Asia hit Taiwan with the strongest recorded winds in the history of typhoons, 190 miles per hour. Typhoons, hurricanes, cyclones, all getting stronger. You know this, the ocean acidification problem, and you've heard about that. Now, you know, you can go on and look around the world and look at the physical changes that are happening to our environment, and hopefully that's enough for people to take it into account and wake up. But it's also important to look at some of the positive changes that are going on in the response. It's true that governments, by and large, have been politically paralyzed because the energy companies, the coal companies, the oil companies, the coal-burning utilities, they have spent enormous amounts of money, and they have succeeded in many countries in paralyzing the political process. There are four anti-climate lobbyists on Capitol Hill in this city for every single member of the House and every single member of the Senate. You know, I was a big fan of Michael Jordan when he played basketball. But I'm telling you, if he had been guarded every step he took on the court by four defenders, and every one of his teammates was also guarded by four defenders, he wouldn't have scored all those points, and his team wouldn't have won all those games. So what is the answer for this? It has to come from you. It has to come at the grassroots level. It has to come from young people. And I believe that you are up to it and that you can do it. We are seeing, at the same time that governments have been paralyzed around the world, with some exceptions, this country unfortunately is not one of the exceptions yet, but we're going to change that after you get busy and get out there at the grassroots level. But at the same time governments have been paralyzed, we are seeing at the grassroots level a fantastic growing movement, and we're also seeing some responses with renewable energy and efficiency and conservation. Photovoltaic energy, for example, is just a couple of years away from being competitive with the average price it is charged for electricity on the grid right now. You remember what happened? Wind power. For each of the last 3 years, wind power has been the largest source of new electricity generation.
After hearing from Bill McKibben and then Al Gore, we leave the subject of climate change activism and come back to Australia. One of the great voices for the environment in Australian politics is, most people would agree, Bob Brown. Bob Brown and the Greens have weathered constant attacks by the Australian media over the years. However, early in 2011, I think it was May, Bob stood up to the media in a press conference that he gave. He turned the tables on some of the journalists in the Canberra media scrum. Along with the recording I've just given you of Bill McKibben and Al Gore, this bit of audio, again, rates for me as one of the more interesting bits as I look back over the last year, 2011.
Well, can I just ask, you, in the course of this news conference, you've called the news limited journalists the hate media.
Yes.
You've taken personal issue with reporting by reporters at this conference. Is this a change in tactic? Are you on the front foot in a way, in a more...
Yes, I'm being very much on the front foot here, because I think the media, with some very good exceptions, can at times lose track of the fact that it's part of the process of moving Australia into a much more secure future, with a more secure lifestyle, economy, and job creation prospects. And I'm continually, and have all my political life, been questioned about that. But I'm not wanting to see just the heat put on this country and its future. Some heat needs to go back onto those sections of the media which are trying to drag this process down. And that's very clear, that's what's happening. You look at the front page of some of the papers today and the commentary on this process, and it's not balanced. It is opinionated. It's not news in terms of having both sides of a story. It's not what you would read in other countries around the world, and I think that needs taking on. The Australian.
Name a specific paragraph on today's front page. Name me a paragraph.
Well, let's look at...
quite seriously.
Yeah, where's the headline about the Cameron government's breakthrough on the front page? It's target. That is globally important news in this discussion.
That was actually reported on the front page of the newspaper.
Yeah, buried in the story. Look, I'm not going to get into... but look, you have your snappies every day. You compare and contrast and take on politicians and other sections of the media, but you don't like it when we take you on. Don't be so tetchy. Just measure up to your own rules. We're all mature and able to not just debate the outcome of political decision making, but the processes. And I will take that on if I think it's damaging Australia's interests, and I think it is at the moment.
But the old conventional wisdom was, don't take on journalism because they buy ink by the ton.
Yes, that's right.
Is that a battle that you think is...
I think it's very essential to take that on at the moment, because I think the Murdoch media is doing a great disservice to this nation in perhaps the most important debate of the century so far, which is how we tackle climate change. And its negativity and its scepticism does need to be tackled, because, you know, we need news in our papers, but we're getting opinion far too much, and that needs to be debated, and nobody needs to get upset about it, but we're a free and open country, and let's have a debate about it. Let's have no topic put on the side for fear that it might be you might get clouded around the head politically about it. That's not what we're here for. We're here to get the best outcome we can for this nation. And I'm determined on that.
Because you hold that view, do you equally think that when someone politely asks you, reasonable questions in terms of, the question I asked you about the transition from the carbon tax to emissions trading scheme, that you don't have to answer it?
What I said to you is that it's built into the process. We do have that transition as part of the deliberations of the committee. What I can't tell you is what the outcome from the committee is going to be. The Greens are in favour of a transition to a trading scheme. That's part of the parameters of this committee. Well, I don't have a timetable for that. Let me go back to it. It's about 2000. The year 2000, we should have been had a trading scheme up and going then. Well, that was my preferred timetable. You're wanting me to preempt a committee outcome, and you'll convert that. You'll go to Labor, and then you go to somebody else. We are discussing that maturely, and I'll give you the answer to the committee's outcomes, along with the Prime Minister and the Independents and Christine Milne, in a few weeks' time.
Have you taken any concerns about media representations to the Press Council?
On occasions, yes. Okay. Yes. But yes, and one.
How about the editors of those papers?
I'm sorry?
Have you raised those concerns with the editors?
Look, from time to time. But look, I'm here as a representative of 1.5 million voters in Australia, and my job is to get outcomes. If I was to take on the media every day about some peccadillo...
But you virtually do. You come out here every day and you do take it on the media. Media that you don't like.
Don't get too upset. This is just part of the democratic discourse.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Fair dinkum. Don't be so unhappy. Don't be so much on the back foot.
I'm not unhappy.
Oh, I'm just,
you just come out here every day and you just bag out the Murdoch press or any media that you don't like, but, and you call them the hate press.
But the Murdoch press comes out every day and bags out the Greens. Why one rule for you and not one for the others? Come on, be happy about it.
Don't you think we're just reflecting what a lot our audience or wants?
Well, if you are, be proud and stand by it. Don't be defensive.
Well, I'm not being defensive.
It sounds to me like you are.
Well, most polls suggest that people don't want the carbon tax and that you are on the wrong foot on this issue.
Well, look, let me tell you.
And across the media, not just the Murdoch press.
The Greens vote's growing faster than the Murdoch media's circulation. I'm happy. I'm just taking you on, and I will do so. And, you know, I know there's... I know there's an inherent penalty clause there, but I've got broad shoulders. I'm prepared to take that on.
Just on the importance of the climate debate and everything like that, if you do get this, will this be your crowning achievement in politics? And if it is, will you look at maybe retiring and leaving politics?
I have retirement to consider, and I've got a role model there. And it's Mr. Murdoch. He's just had his 80th birthday, and he's not considering it yet. My 80th birthday comes up in 2024, and I might beat him to it and start considering it about then. But I'm watching him closely in the retirement stakes.
So
I'm watching Mr. Murdoch. Is he going to pull the pin at the end of this year? Can you tell me that?
But why are you so obsessed with this? With this whole issue. I don't understand why you're so obsessed with it.
Well, that's an opinion, you see. You're now asking me a question based on a very loaded opinion. I'm not obsessed with it.
You are.
Thank you.
You've actually come out here every day and bag out the Murdoch press or anyone that you don't like.
Well, you know, you're taking it badly. But keep smiling. That's the important thing. This is a very healthy debate. And
according to you, it isn't. You don't think it's a healthy debate at all?
Well, I think it's fantastic.
Because you think it's one-sided?
Jacques Hughes, you know, you're getting very accusatory there because I've simply turned some questions onto you. Fragile, I'd say, very fragile. But there'll be more of it, so get used to it. Thanks, everybody.
That's it for Understory today. I hope 2012... is a more hopeful one for those who speak out for our green and blue home, the only one we have. I'm Tom Wilson. See you next time.